This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners today. King Solomon once said, "There is a time to be silent and a time to speak." Well, how can we know the appropriate time for each? In today's program, Reverend Homer Larson will help us learn to differentiate between when to speak up and when to listen as we study one of Jesus' miracles.
There's a time to speak and a time to be quiet. This was a teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and we'll discuss it today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can turn to your word and just listen. Be quiet. We also thank you that we can lift up our voices and sing our praises to you in prayer and make our requests known to you. And we pray that in the everyday matters of life, we may hear you saying, "Be still. There's a time to be quiet, and then there's a time to speak." God, let us learn from what you have today for us in your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, life teaches us that there is a time to speak and a time to be quiet. It was also the given advice of Solomon, King of Israel, to his people. There is a time to speak and a time to be quiet, found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 2. Jesus is using that thought in our text today. Let me read it to you. It's recorded in the first chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with verse 40. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go slow and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, this man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people came to him from everywhere. Leprosy was a terrible disease, and the people died from it by the thousands. There was nothing that anybody could do to heal the person, so he was put away. They lived in special houses just for the lepers. It didn't just attack their skin and rot off their external parts, but it affected the whole body. They were just plain sick. And so here came this man, the leper. And he looked into the face of Jesus, bowing on his knees, and said, if you're willing, you could really heal me. And Jesus, in compassion, said, I am willing. Be healed. And he touched him, and the leprosy went away. Then he said, go to the temple and perform the necessary liturgical means that shows that you have been cleansed from that terrible disease. But then he said, with a strong warning, notice it is strong, a strong warning. Don't tell this to anyone. Don't tell anyone that you have seen. I was once a leper, but now I'm healed. And there's a man by the name of Jesus there who did it all. There was no question that this was true. But for Jesus' sake, he said, don't do that. And the question then comes up, why? Because Jesus was always saying, go and tell the nations that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But now he's got a situation where he's just saying, don't tell anybody. There was a reason. This man disobediently went out and did just the opposite from what Jesus told him to do. Anybody he saw, he said, once I was a leper, but now I'm healed. How did you get healed? The man said. Well, there's one by the name of Jesus who I met along the way, and he healed me. And so it got this point that they was trying to find Jesus wherever he might be, so that Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. He had other things that he wanted to do. While he realized that the healing ministry was very important, I'm sure that he realized that the reason that he had come to this world was primarily to let the people know that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He had a message he wanted to proclaim to them. But no longer could he do that because they came for healing and not to hear the message. So he had to go and live in lonely places, and still they came to hear the message, and I'm sure healed him. He received the healing also. It's a beautiful picture because it teaches us what Solomon was teaching to the people of his day. There is a time for us to speak, and there's a time for us to be quiet. There's a time for us to be quiet and listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us. And then there's a time to turn to him and pray. But in other ways, there are also times to be quiet, listening to what people are saying. And then there is a time to speak. The old Bishop Ryle, one of the great preachers of many years ago in England, asks the question, is there anything like leprosy among us? And then Ryle answers his own question. Yes, there is, he said. There is a foul soul disease which is ingrained in our very nature. The disease is a plague of sin. Like leprosy, it is incurable by any human being. And I think we understand, if we are of the faith, what Ryle is saying. When Jesus has really confronted us and we see our sinfulness, we realize what it does to our own being. We are really miserable people. We can't find any satisfaction in life. There is no peace. There is no security. And so it is that Jesus says at that time, you have to listen to me. Bishop Ryle has said that spiritual leprosy has found its way into our hearts. And it is a terrible feeling that I know that I am separated from God. The average person probably doesn't realize this. But those of you who have had your experience with Jesus Christ knows that that disease is really a plague. So it is when we begin to know that we have a spiritual leprosy, our disease is on the way to being cured. And then when that healing comes, when Jesus does lay his hands on us and we become a part of him, even within our own inner being, there is a tremendous desire to tell others. This is especially true when one has had a conversion or a spiritual awakening. The new convert can sometimes be very emotionally grabbed, and he can talk with a sort of a non-understanding of other people. I recall many years ago there was a man in our church who was what I would call a nominal churchman. In one sense of the word, the society of which we were a part would say, well, he was a Christian, came to church every Sunday, or nearly every Sunday, raised his family in the church, but had no peace and joy. I had tried to share with him, but I got nowhere. It was always an argument, and I didn't like to end up with arguing, so he went along his way. But then one time, another couple went to their home on an evangelism call from our church. And that night, the man's heart was touched. Without a doubt, he saw his terrible state of mind, the terrible spiritual state he was really in. And he confessed his sins, placed his faith in Christ, and went on his way. He was awakened. One time then, not long after his spiritual awakening, he told me of his experience. And then he said, you're preaching differently now. Why didn't you preach that way before? Why didn't you let me hear that message from the pulpit? And I could only let him say, I'm so glad you have heard it. It doesn't matter where it came from. But let me tell you that my preaching has not changed from one day to the next when it came to sin and grace, law and gospel, salvation and damnation. But now you first hear it. You see, there is a time to be quiet. What is God saying to me in his word? There's a time to listen. What is he saying as far as my sins are concerned? They separate me from God. They are serious. But is there any hope? Oh, yes, there is. For Jesus has come into this world to be our Savior, to grant us the forgiveness of all of these sins, and to restore us back into a fellowship with God that will last forever. That's the message that he wants you to hear, and that's the message that can set you free. I one time had a friend. He's dead now. He was a teacher, professor, instructor, whatever you might call him, at the university in our town. He was a man who was so involved with the church and Christ and wanting to get his message out that he sometimes never took the opportunity to just listen. And so one day he came to me and he said, I'd like to tell you my experience and I don't know what to do. I love these colleagues that I am teaching with. Basically, they're very good men, but they have told me to play in plain language to shut up about this gospel that I tried to tell them. So I said, well, what did you tell them? Well, he said, this would come on Monday when my soul was still on fire for what I had heard on Sunday with the Word of God. And I'd say to them, just let me tell it to you again. Jesus loves you, but you don't believe in him. You don't trust him. You don't know him personally. And he'd go after them Sunday, week after week after week, until one of the men finally said to him, will you please shut up? I don't want to hear any more of that again. And I said to this man, you know, you should just listen. You have done what the Lord told you to do first. You planted the seed. And now it's time for the Holy Spirit to do his work. And if they did not take the planting that came from your lips, then maybe there will be another one who will come along. There's a time for you to be quiet. That somebody else may speak, and you can be brought to Jesus Christ. Now, that was quite different. I don't know what happened to those colleagues. I don't know what happened to that man because they left town. However, I know that there was a lesson that he needed to learn, and so do I at times. We are so used to being told, preach and teach. And that is right. And that is Jesus' first commission to us. And we talk about it every Sunday on this program. And we'll continue to talk about it. Tell the gospel. More of us err by being quiet. But there are times that to speak would be better if left out and we listened carefully. When we became real serious about evangelism at Nazareth Church in Cedar Falls, I decided I definitely needed some help. And so I was referred to Dr. James Kennedy down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We went down there, several of us, from time to time and learned from this man. And I remember one day when Dr. Kennedy, who had been such a powerful witness in his congregation there in Fort Lauderdale, said to us, you know, gentlemen and women, those who were there, we have to earn the right to share the gospel. How long can that take? Maybe it can take many years before I am really in a situation where I can really proclaim to the person the gospel. Maybe it just takes a few minutes. I found that to be true when I was flying on an airplane, and you've heard all kinds of stories from preachers on that. I got down, tucked away in my seat on a plane ride to the coast, 3 or 4 hours. And I pulled out my book, which happened to be a theological book, and began to read. The man who was sitting beside me said, what are you reading? And I told him I didn't think it would be much of interest to him, but I was a clergyman. And he said, what church? And he identified all the externals and how large was the church and so forth and so on, and how's it going? When I began to move closer to the gospel, this man gave me a strong signal that was enough. It was then time for me to be quiet. I had talked, and now he didn't want any more. For me to have said anything that was more personal at that time, I believe, would have been wrong. Then the plane went on, and I think he took a nap, and I took a nap, and we awakened again. And then he actually said to me, "Tell me more about this Word of God." So I told him very carefully what the gospel was all about. That man is born sinful, that he commits sin in thought, word, and deed. But God loved us so much that he sent his Son into this world to die for our sins and to be raised again. And that if we would receive him as Savior and Lord, just ask him into our lives and begin to live with him. Read his word, go to his church where the gospel is preached. He would find his way into the inner being and guide and lead us until we breathe the last breath, and then he would take us home to heaven. And the man looked at me and said, "And you believe that? Interesting." I said, "You would hear that every Sunday morning from one or another when you come to our church. For we would have a lot of things to say, but basically that's the core of the message of the Christian faith." There was a time for me to speak. There was a time for me to be very quiet. But then we have this question, how do you know? How do you know when it's a time to speak? Do you get a signal somehow from God? I believe myself that if we live in a close relationship with God, he will bring this message to us. "Now you talk. Now keep still." I think he will also give us some pretty practical suggestions. Say what you have to say. Explain what Jesus Christ is to you and what he has done for your life. But then it's a time for you to sit back and just be quiet. I sometimes have said when it was time for me to be quiet, you know, you might have a pastor in your town who would be of great help to you. And if you feel that you need him, just go and ask him to listen to you. And then listen to what he has to say. Yes, certainly many times we have to be pushed and urged to talk and tell these wonderful people all about Jesus Christ. But there's another time when we listen to their aches, to their pains, to their insecurity, to the place where they don't know which way to turn. Then you turn to them and say, "I have a friend. He will help you. He will guide you." I am reminded of that great hymn that is written by William Gaither. "Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole. I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Yes, there's a time to be quiet, and there's a time to speak. Amen.
Lord, speak.
Father in heaven, we thank you that you're willing to speak to us. Make us not so busy with other things that we do not take time to hear that word as it finds its way into our hearts and minds. But then, God, also give us a grace just plain to listen to the hurts of people, where they are, what those friends and relatives need more than anything else, not least those who are a part of our immediate family, our fathers, our mothers, our sisters, our brothers, our children, our parents. Listen first, and then speak the good news that there has been born to us a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and the internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's program has brought you spiritual comfort and joy. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Printed copies and CDs of today's service are available free of charge. However, a generous gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Hundreds of Christian Crusaders sermons are available to be read or printed. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Please visit us online at christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth for the past 76 years.